sustainable practitioner in each discipline. We in fact asked this of the students and got some really interesting responses, which I haven't got time to show you here, about what does this mean? What does it mean to be a thinker? In fact, if people are starting to think, what's some teaching material that I can use for sustainability? This page here is a pretty good down start about just here's this blank piece of paper. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? And we got some really, really interesting results in the survey that we did about the relationship between how sustainable people were on a sort of a set of values, and what they wrote for this, and what they wrote for how relevant is sustainability to my career. The nurses and vet nurses were the most sustainable people imaginable. They were way off the scale on the sustainability values. But we're nurses, it's got nothing to do with us. The engineers, other way. Imagine people the least sustainable values you could possibly have. And big tick, this is, every one of them, sustainability is crucial to my career. So we've got some interesting, within different departments, we've got some interesting thinking to do about how we actually deliver this stuff. So how do we put this into practice? How we're putting this into practice is we're going through a sequence of identifying what does it mean to be a sustainable practitioner, going through that features thing, that behaviours thing, that responses thing. Of course, we're also approaching this from the other way. I'm describing this from the top down, we're also approaching it from the bottom up. Every program, or very nearly every program, has expressed that in terms of a graduate profile. So we've got these sorts of words added into the graduate profile. We were very determined that it wasn't going to be the graduate can do this, this, and this, and be sustainable. We're very determined that it wasn't the sort of dot, 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 and sustainability. That it was kind of, that we're looking at that in terms of what does that mean? That, of course, and this is what Anna and Ella and co are helping departments with, falls through into the course descriptors, it falls through into learning outcomes. And from there, it should end up in student learning and in student learning experiences. We're also recognising that there is a whole pile of cross-discipline initiatives. The approach that we have taken is a vertical approach, if you like. We are focusing on the discipline, but we also recognise that sustainability is lots about multidisciplinary. One of the most important things that we need to be thinking about in terms of sustainability is to be able to think about the impacts of what we do across scales. And those scales are all of them, any scale you can think of: spatial, temporal, cultural, ecological, societal. What's driving what I'm doing, and what are the impacts of what I'm doing across all of those different scales? It's very difficult to do that in a vertical slice. If you're only just thinking about the strict teachings of your discipline. So we want to be able to think across those scales. And so one of the things that we're putting effort into is also into the cross-discipline initiatives. Things like the Living Campus and Shack and a couple of other things we'll talk about. Of course, all of this relies on us working on our institutional practice. We need to be working on the practice of running the Polytech. We need to be making sure that we are moving in the right direction. Now, I said before that we need to be doing that for hidden curriculum reasons. That people won't learn stuff unless we're teaching them in the right environment. We do, though, need to be careful with that. We do need to recognise some separation between those two things. We don't want people to be able to say, I'm in hospitality here, We can't possibly teach sustainability while we're in this creaking old building with the windows that leak and there's something else that happens. Or we don't want anyone to say, we can't possibly be teaching about sustainable energy management while we've got a smokestack. We're moving in the right direction. As I said at the start, sustainability is not a destination, it's a journey. So if we are moving in that right direction, that's not good enough, because we do need to be continuing to move, but we can't let those sorts of things be a barrier to us teaching the things. That fits into the wider community, and so the work that Steve and Ella are doing, working with our various community partners. How does this do? But also that comes down to everyone. It comes down to the impacts of everybody's decisions on the supply chain in Dunedin. On what we're doing. And of course this all sits within the bigger sphere, as that diagram we looked at before, of the environment. You're not expected to memorise this one, but of course this diagram here doesn't have the flows on it. It's just the blobs. There is flows all over the show if you choose to draw them. This isn't the same diagram, but you can see that when you start to be looking at systems, and what we need to be doing is thinking about things in systems, there are flows between things all over the show of various scales, and thinking about making things cyclic and so on. So think about that thing. Think about this. Think about your space within this diagram, and then think, yep, it's got flows all over the place. And those flows, the same as the flows between the seven areas of things, are what matters in what I'm doing. Why is that there again? Who knows? So, we are working to reduce our ecological footprint. We need to move, though, beyond this sort of eco-efficiency approach. This is a good thing to be doing, don't get me wrong. We need to be looking at our efficiency. And usually, reducing your footprint also lines up with less cost. Although we need to be careful that we don't assume that that's always correct. It's always the same. We need to make sure that we don't think, yep, this is being eco-friendly is always cheaper. Most of the time it is. But we need to be careful that we don't assume that that's always the case. Now, the obvious example is, it is cheaper for in computing terms, what we're doing, what everyone else is doing, is reducing the carbon footprint of our servers. We've gone down from whatever it was, 100 something servers, down to 2 or 3 or 5 or something, and everyone's doing that. And so there is huge gains to be made in those sorts of areas. But there are other things that we need to be doing that might cost a bit more. If we were to come up with if we were to watch a documentary and say that every computer that's produced uses child labour, I've made that up, it hopefully doesn't. But let's say that it did. And if we were going to say, if we were going to make a stand on that, it might end up costing us more. So we just need to be careful that we don't assume that reducing our ecological footprint necessarily costs us less. We are, of course, doing work in this. How much paper does a Tiger Polytechnic use each year? I know you don't use much.
Now.
But this, of course, is the railway station. This is the railway station. Down here, and this is our stack of paper last year. Not that wide. What have we done to the printing budget this year, Phil?
It's halved.
So that pile will be half that this year, and hopefully less. So we are certainly working hard on reducing that footprint. Some half the people in the room might recognise this. I assume there's the same thing in women's at the museum. I have no idea.
No.
Not that. What we need to be doing is remember that we're an educational institution. If we are doing reducing this pile, we need to use that as an opportunity for learning. So we need to make sure that not, and this isn't just a sort of defensive mechanism of, you know, telling the students that we're doing this because of, you know, passing the costs on to them, that sort of argument. If we're doing something, first and foremost, we're an educational institution. We need to be using that as an opportunity for learning. However, doing bad is not necessarily, is not the same as doing, doing less bad is not the same as doing good. So in addition to the ideas of the reducing our footprint, what we want to be doing is increasing our handprint. I've got little badges. I think this is a wonderful initiative. It came out of India. This is about, you know, actions towards sustainability. Education for sustainability is seen as the primary contributor to this. But as an educational institution, we also want to be doing good. And so, you know, the things like the charity house of that sort of stuff is actively doing things that are doing good. Why is that there? Who knows? So, we've gone through this process, and we're continuing to go through this process of saying, what does it mean to be a sustainable practitioner? What does that mean in terms of behaviours and values and skills that people need? Let's express that in terms of a graduate profile. Let's express that in terms of the learning outcomes. And then we get a bit stuck, because people sort of say, yep, I can do that, but what does it actually mean? Where, how are we going to fit this into the curriculum? We are determined that this is not something that is in addition to something we're doing elsewhere. We don't want to be saying, you know, which bit of programming shall we dump to fit sustainability in. We've made a strong decision that our preference is for integration. You remember that when we all used to teach ethics as a separate course, and the students would come out of those courses and say, thank goodness that's over, now can I get back to computing? And it was the same everywhere. We don't want that to happen. We absolutely must have sustainability seen as part of people's normal practice. So given that, how do we actually integrate that into courses? And this is the work that this one last year, and then last year. What we've got here is we've got some aspects of sustainability. There's four of them. So systems thinking, this sort of idea of thinking across scales, I think it says that, how actions, impacts across, intended and unintended across scales, temporal, spatial, social relationships, and so on and so on. We need people to be able to think in those sorts of terms. People need to have some sort of notions of how of ethical practice. There's a fantastic document by Chipling, which says ethics is not the job of heroes, it's the job of everyone. And so what does that mean in terms of practice? And so this is kind of the stuff that I was talking about what sort of behaviours do we expect when you're told to go and chop down the last cowrie tree. What is it? How do people manage change? How do people actually do things? And it might be from a position of weakness. There might not be the CEO. How do they actually manage change? How is change implemented? What sort of things are in there? Some crucial things in here. It's about participatory methods. It's about democratic processes. It's about reflection. Some basic science, some earth science stuff. Not an enormous amount. And I was at the release in Germany at the PISA, you know, the PISA report where they go out every 3 years and they test for like 6 hours, about 200,000 15-year-olds across the world. And I haven't got it in here. It's called Green at 15. And New Zealand's doing pretty good on the Green at 15 measure. And what they're looking at is not, do you understand carbon cycles, but given the presentation of some sort of scientific of some information, are you able to distill out of it the science? Are you able to distinguish the science from the old wives' tales? Are you able to look at things and discriminate between the things that are that are meaningful and the things that are not? And you think they've really managed to identify. They're not talking about the knowledge that science produces. They're talking about the scientific process. So we don't need an enormous amount of that, but we do need to be people to be able to do that. And again, in computing terms, our graduates, because you know, of course, our graduates run most of ISS, they're the ones that buy however many computers it is for this place every year. And every contract that they get comes with like about 20 or 30 page stuff from HP or Dell, and it's Dell's promise to save the universe, or HP's commitment to the world. Are any of my graduates, our technicians, looking at that stuff? No. They're not even flicking through it. If you're lucky, they read the front page and say, yep, that seems to be green. They're not looking at that stuff at all and discriminating what's sort of greenwash and what's real. So we need a bit of the ability to be able to look at that sort of stuff and make sense of it. And then we need some strategies and things, particularly the things that apply specifically to each discipline. So in business's case, we do need to teach triple bottom line. In computing's case, we do need to teach green RFPs, that we need to be able to put put it in the context of what it is. Then across this way, what we've been looking at is the levels. These are the NZQA levels. You know that NZQA table of what people can do at each level? And it sort of has, can do stuff up to apply and integrate over on sort of level 7. Now, think back to that chainsaw operator that I was talking about near the start. What do we expect that chainsaw operator to do given the instruction to go and chop down the last carob tree? Now, with biogeographical training, I would talk about holistic catchment management and integrated catchment methods, about how you would approach that. You know, you would want to say, do you really want to chop the tree down? How about we have some sort of mixed-use forestry type situation? Now, those sorts of words, I used words like integrated and holistic, on the NZQA levels, they start to apply at level 6 and 7. You don't find them down at level 3 and 4, or 2 as